Today on Rocking the Suburbs.
Did you really think everyone in America would be so amazed at how tall you are?
All right, we're here at Suburbs Fest 2022, everybody. Yay! If you hear that rousing applause, it means you're in Rockville, Maryland. At Seven Locks Brewing, and we're going to do some guest episodes here with the attendees of Suburbfest. I'm going to set this timer for 10 minutes, and I'm Jim Lenihan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
It's Rockin' the Suburbs, and today is Stephen Routledge from Scotland.
Hello, hello.
Welcome. Before we get into the topic, how was the trip over?
It's been great so far. Really, really enjoying it. It's been great to be in America and meet all you guys, and it's fantastic.
First
time in America. They let me in. Whether they'll let me back remains to be seen.
Even with the beard.
My passport doesn't have the beard, and I also doesn't have my glasses. So when I came through with my glasses and my beard on, I did wonder whether I might get sent back, but they let me through. So.
And you brought some weird guy with you who's been hanging around with you the whole time.
My dad is here as well, so we've been seeing the sights of DC, or some of them anyway, at least, and very much enjoying it.
And we are glad to have you both last night at the Hootenanny. That was fantastic.
It was great to be there and see everyone in the flesh performing, and play a few bits and pieces myself as well. So
You did.
Oh, you did such a great job, Stephen. Everyone, Stephen Routledge, come on. All right, I'm going to set the timer here for 10 minutes. What is our topic today?
It's funny. As my dad is here, I thought I would talk on the subject of parental influence on your musical taste.
Okay, great.
And how whether that affects or not, because the general impression is that when you become a teenager, you automatically don't listen to what your parents like, and you rebel against that, and everyone sort of goes in a different direction with their music. But my favorite two artists, I may have mentioned occasionally, Teenage Fan Club and Neil Young. And I thought, well...
And you got that directly from your dad.
No, I didn't get that from my dad at all. However, my dad's favorite two artists are the Beach Boys and the Shadows. Okay, so now, this... For to my mind, you can draw a direct link between those two choices, because Neil Young is on the record as saying he was massively influenced as a guitar player by Hank Marvin of the Shadows. And if you go back and listen to the Squires on the Archives One, so you listen to a song like The Sultan, which is where the Squires, Neil Young's first bands that are recorded, it's got a little bit more surf guitar sound in it than the Shadows have, but it's very much in that instrumental kind of Shadows, Telstar kind of vibe. And obviously Neil was on record as saying that he was hugely influenced by Hank Marvin's playing in his own playing style, and you can definitely hear that in that he doesn't play lead guitar
like a
Jimmy Page or a Hendrix or a Clapton type of guy. He's got his very own distinctive sound that you can tell it's just him. Famously is the master of the one note solo, So clearly that influence, absorbing listening to the Shadows as a child in my dad's car impact how much I enjoyed Neil Young once I discovered him. And then going over to like the Beach Boys, well, they're well known for doing fantastic harmonies, songs full of melody, occasionally building on the works of others before them. Certainly in the early days. And that sounds a lot like Teenage Fan Club to me. Plenty of harmonies, plenty of melodies. When I started out, accused of borrowing too much from other artists. So I thought, well, to me, it seems like that's not all I listen to, but my two favorite artists are heavily influenced, I think, by what my dad likes. So I wondered how that was the case for you guys or anyone else, and if you thought about it from that different point of view, not directly, is it the same artist, but is there like a lineage that's passed down sort of intrinsically, or is it just me and I'm weird?
Very interesting.
So, yes.
I'll tell you that my mom had a very limited musical vocabulary, I guess you would say. She liked Johnny Cash. And she liked Marty Robbins a lot. And that's about it. we're not a lot of other records that we actually had in the house. So, but that appreciation for Johnny Cash, I think, runs exactly like you were saying through everything that I've kind of loved. That darker side of country music is absolutely what's appealing to me from when I first discovered the Meat Puppets, that, oh, wait, rock and roll and punk can actually coexist with country, and it's okay, and it's, like, cool.
Above the desert floor, I see it there below. A city with a legend, the West Texas town of El Paso. And I recall a story that I heard about a cowboy and a girl in a little place called Roses, where you used to go and watch that beauty world. I recall who sang the song, but I recall a story that I heard. And as I fly above El Paso, I remember each and every word about a Texas cowboy and the way he used a gun to kill another cowboy, and he had to leave El Paso on the run. El Paso City, by the Rio Grande, the cowboy lived a runaway, but love was strong, he couldn't stay. Went back just to die in that El Paso sand. El Paso City, by the Rio Grande, a voice inside keeps calling me, but another voice keeps telling me, maybe death waits.
My father wasn't really much of a music fan. I think we've talked about this before. His two favorite artists were Neil Diamond, which is not bad,
bad.
And Barry Manilow. So, there you go.
That's bad.
So that's the kind of records he would play in the house. But he didn't really play records that much. My mom, I think, did give me an appreciation. I don't think I appreciated it at the time, but she did give me appreciation for 50s, rock and roll,
right,
and pop and that sort of thing. Because in her mind, I think it'd be funny for this crowd. In her mind, popular music sort of ended with the British invasion.
That was
like,
it.
You know what
it
I mean?
Killed
like,
it.
No,
yeah.
I have no interest in this. Yeah. Everything pre that, she really enjoyed. So to this day, on Sirius XM radio, satellite radio, she pretty much exclusively listens to 50s on 5,
which is
just, 50s, pop music, right, and rock and roll and stuff like that. And I quite enjoy that riding around, because it isn't just, Little Richard, Jerry Lee Lewis, but there's like some stuff, more obscure things that are in there, because it's basically just pulling off whatever was popular at the time. So I think that's somewhat important that she gave me that sort of appreciation for that music, because then when you become somewhat obsessed with music and you sort of trace things back, then you're like, oh, this is where that came from.
Right.
And I've heard that before. And I think it gives you a certain foundation, right?
Yeah. And, it was interesting thinking about my own offspring and would they rebel against the music I had? Because I was always trying to play stuff and make, mixtapes for them when they rode around in the car. And I don't know. They just kind of ignore me. They just kind of always have made their own decisions, which is probably pretty good. Don't pay any attention.
To be honest, Patrick, I mean, other than listening to Phil Collins, there's pretty much everything else is in your collection anyway, isn't it?
So that would have been the thing that did it. Yeah.
They've got nowhere to go.
So how does your father feel about your musical interests?
I think he appreciates it. You want to come up and speak, Dad?
No, he's like, no. He declines. He's coming up. He's coming up.
I support him 100%.
Yes.
I do know he does like it when I do a bit of lead guitar. He quite enjoys that. So yeah.
Was there a certain age where you really sort of where the light bulb went off or what have you, and you were like, I'm all in on music and I'm going to now parents with all this loud racket?
Yeah, it was quite late. I think I was about probably 16.
Okay.
Before I started getting into music. I started, I think 80s pop and general stuff that was around on the radio when I was, that early teenager. It didn't really do a lot for me, and I still don't, I still don't like a lot of that 80s stuff, just mainly because of how it sounds. I mean, there's plenty of artists from that area that I do like, but I think it's really, what turned it on to me getting into playing guitar as well was when I got the Crossroads box at the 4CD set, Eric Clapton.
Yeah.
That really got me into playing guitar and wanting to like play lead guitar and doing that. So like Clapton, he was kind of like my first guitar hero. I was like, okay, I want to be like that. I want to play like that. You know, I once saw him twice in a week at the Albert Hall when he had his residencies there. And he'd do like about four nights with different bands, you know. So that was probably sort of around about 16, 17 that I really got into.
And what was your first guitar?
My very first guitar was what I got as a child, which was I can't remember the make of it. I think it was a K, possibly. It was a classical acoustic. So the neck was about this wide,
right,
and the strings were about that high off the
nylon.
Nylon strung, and learning to play classical stuff and things like that. And this will make you chuckle, Jim, because actually, when we was learning to play instruments, so my sister learned to play the flute. I wanted to learn to play the drums. Mum wasn't so keen on that, so she said, "Have another pick." So I tried trombone, which I didn't try it. I suggested it, and she said, "How about guitar?" And then I have my mum to thank for getting onto the guitar. Yeah. So
beautiful.
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. So, all right, this was great, it. Right? Thanks so much, Stephen. It's just wonderful that you're here.
Yeah,
it really is.
I know
it's hard for me to even express just how.
The feeling's mutual. It's just been so amazing to see everyone here and just hang out with you guys, even with Mike Wagner pulling faces in the background trying to put us off. But you know, it's just so. Yeah, still can't quite believe I'm here. Really.
I almost passed out from surrealness at one point last night when we got those T-shirts from Nicholas and Steven. That was incredible. I woke up and went, what is this soccer? I remember now.
Wonderful. Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
All right. Thanks very much.
And Steven, so we have... Oh, yeah. Now, you may have this one already, the Julie Ocean. Do you have that?
Okay, we'll get one of those now.
Okay. This is the My Forever DJ, which is our friend. Yeah. His name, of course, has escaped me at the moment.
Jeff Niebuhr.
Yeah, that's right. Jeff Niebuhr. We've got the red, white, and crew.
I already have this compilation.
You already have that.
So I'll okay. I paid more than $1.99 for it, though.
We've got Anthony and the Johnsons, which is actually quite a beautiful record.
Yeah, yeah.
And here it is, folks. The Benedict Monks of Santo Domingo doing Chant. So that's available as well.
All
right.
Yeah,
Chant it is.
Yeah,
Stephen Routledge going with Chant.
Now, hang on. You also have to answer the random question, right?
Okay,
so you pick a number between 1 and 20.
12.
Your question is, what would be a good question to ask you?
Not that question, possibly. I'm stumped there. Can I? Sorry.
I guess the implication is like maybe something we don't know about you. Like, what would we ask that nobody ever really asks about you?
I suppose the good question you could ask is, did you really think everyone in America would be so amazed how tall you are?
All right.
The answer is no. I wasn't. I was surprised that everyone thought I was quite so tall. So
how tall are you?
I'm 6'4".
There it is.
6'4". We got anybody who beats that here? 6'4"?
Herb's pretty tall.
How tall are you, Herb? Yeah. He doesn't want to say. Okay.
6'2", close.
But you don't have basketball.
Well,
in the UK, really, right?
No. But then again, neither do the Dutch, and they're the tallest nation in the world. So
yeah.
No,
good point.
Who was the dunking Dutchman? Wait, that was
Detlef Schrempf? No, he was German.
He was German.
Yeah.
Oh, it'll come to me. We did have one.
Yeah,
great
dunking Dutchman. Yeah.
Player in the NBA from.
I'll think of it.
Netherlands. Oh, we'll think of that. We'll come back to that later.
Okay.
Anyway.
All right.
Thank you,
knows.
Steven.
Thank you, Steven.
Woo! All right. There we go. Tomorrow we'll have another guest in the hot seat.
Yes.
Rockin' the Suburbs. I'm Jim Linehan.
And I'm Patrick Foster.
We'll talk to you tomorrow. We'll be right back.
I support him 100%.